I welcome everybody, Shavuot Tov u'Mevorach. The winter has returned, but I understand it's only for 2 days. Today is Sunday, the 19th of March, 2023. And to all the people in Chutz Laretz who are upset, I'm getting emails and civil war here, there are real deep problems. I don't want to make you think that it's all newspaper news. It's real, it's true, and it's not going to be solved overnight, and there's a very important base to the problem, and that is the army. And I'll say it, B'lashon Sagi Nohar, or Lashon Nikiyah, call it what you wish, but when the Haredim take over the army, 90% of the problems you're reading about will dissipate and disappear. What bothers me more than anything is that my people, I voted for the Mizrahi element, Baruch Hashem, good people, but every last person from Rothman down should begin any public talk or any public interview, we want to be no different than the United States of America. Who selects the judges, the president, confirmation by the Senate. I don't know in every state, but in New York State, I know that they elect the judges to the Supreme Court. I mean, this is beyond comprehension. The Israeli situation is chaver mevi chaver, nothing to do with the populace, nothing to do with who is living in the country. It has to do, as has been said more than once, you can take a number of streets in Rehavia and the Kiryat Shmuel and Katamon adjacent to Kiryat Shmuel and Rehavia Taubia, maybe Shari Chesed, and the whole Supreme Court basically, outside of one or two exceptions, comes from that area. And that's not representative of the people, and B'Yivrit Meduberet HaRibon Shel haMedina tzarich liyot haEzrachim haChayim beMedina, and this is true in many democracies, and perhaps all democracies. And even Alan Dershowitz came on board, and he listed out all the countries in the world, Australia, New Zealand, other countries, where they're going to be even these countries are even less democratic than what Israel is proposing. So we're in good company. But I don't know why Smotrich and Ben-Gvir and Rothman and Levin, or Levin, whichever way he pronounces his name, I don't know why they don't make that clear when they open their mouths. But nevertheless, what I said about the army is at the very, very heart of the problem. And it's not time now to elaborate. I've spoken about it many times. And B'ezrat Hashem, I hope the solution is ameliorating itself. I hope the Haredi world understands their responsibility if we're going to have a state of Israel, and if we're halachic Jews, the Melchemet Mitzvah, the Sugyan Saita, the Makkei, etc., the Rambam, Perek Zayin, Hilchot Melachim, it's quite clear what our obligations are. Okay, but I wanna come back here, and it's a very fascinating shiur today. And again, this is teaching on a real level. You'll see there's so many factors involved in Paskin Halacha, David. It's not something when you were young, you read the kids of Shulchan Aruch, everything was black and white. We'll see today, I don't know if we'll finish it, but we'll see today. Here you have a fascinating shaila. And it's far from black and white. Now, the original shaila I'm dealing with, and which I'll finish this morning, is, and then we'll go on to Reb Meisher, is dealing with Reb Menashe Klein, and he gets this question in 1999 about appointing a lady to be a mashgiach kashrut in Baltimore. And you already can understand that there's politics involved. Reb Moshe writes, Reb Menashe Klein writes, correct, Jack, correct me, wave your hand if I say the wrong thing. Reb Menashe Klein writes...
Rebbe, you have to unmute yourself from your end.
Yomo is popping up. Thank God he's here. I used to have Elliot. Bring Yomo in by the collar, but now I have to do it myself, not Lona Imli. You. Okay? Can I continue?
Yes.
Okay. And the first part was clear, what I said until now?
Mr. Few seconds.
No, 1 or 2 minutes are missing.
I'll continue. All right, so the question of Baltimore, can a lady be a mashgiach kashrut? And Reb Menashe Klein spoke it over in Baltimore, and evidently he saw there's politics involved, so he came back to New York, and he wrote to, you see here the introduction, he doesn't reveal the name because it's a delicate question, but he's writing to a rabbi, says, I don't want to write to the Balabatim. And he raises a number of problems. We spoke about the problem of Yichud. Yichud obviously may or may not be a problem. I would ask Norm Schles, he should comment with Heksha, since he gives the Heksha on major products for the OU. Does he ever have a problem of Yichud? I would doubt it. It would seem to me the problem of Yichud comes up more if you're giving a Heksha on a meat establishment where there are freezers, where there's a frigidaire, where the area is probably where there aren't a lot of people. But okay, he raises the problem of Yichud. How can a woman be a mashgiach? And as we said last week, anyone who wants to cheat can cheat. Unfortunately, and this is Zilkri Beravhu, you can have the greatest hashgacha in the world, but no one can watch the other person 7/24. By definition, we're only mortals. So you can be a Yotzei B'Nichnas, you can set up standards. But if the person wants to cheat, he will cheat. And unfortunately, you know, we have many examples. The place between, not far from Lakewood, South Africa, what happened within the last few years, Muncie, I need not tell you, 20 years ago approximately, and that still lives on. I just found out that the reason the 630 minyan was abolished in Ohel Rivka, where I davened for 53 years now, it's because a person from Muncie, I don't want to elaborate, was davening there, and people didn't want to daven at the same minyan with him. I didn't know that. I know the 630 minyan disappeared a few years ago. I didn't know why. And this past week I was given the lowdown, what happened. So Maisim, unfortunately, Maisim B'chol Shana, I'll say. I hope it's not B'chol Yom. Even in Yerushalayim, there was a big scandal with a butcher shop in Nayot, in the gas station, that whole complex. There was a butcher there, and again, there was a problem. And if people want to cheat, they can cheat. But nevertheless, he raises the problem of Yichud. All right, I don't want to dismiss it. I'm not an expert. I would ask Norm Schles, does this problem really exist in Hashgacha? Then he gets involved with the whole problem of Ne'amanut. And we'll come back to that in more detail today when we deal with Rav Meisha. Does a woman have Ne'amanut? And as I said last week, and no one can refute this, you talk about Ne'amanut. Everything we do depends upon women. We eat, our whole kosher life. Make the cheshbon. Who do you depend upon? And you're invited out for Kiddush. David, you're invited out Kiddush Shabbos. Who's giving the heksha? You don't even, your next door neighbor invites you for Kiddush. Do you ask who's the Rav HaMachshia? The lady is in charge. Our whole sexual life depends upon Ne'amanut of the woman. We'll see that later today. It's a very important Tosfos, a very important concept. Our whole sexual life depends upon Ne'amanut of the woman. So is a woman believed? All right, I'll show you the Gemaras. There are problems, Tircha Gedola. We'll see the sources. Fascinating. But overall, I would say that we certainly can depend upon a woman 100%. The fact is that a woman is kashal l'shchita. It's the first halacha brought down in Hilchot Shchita in Yoredeya. Did women actually shecht? All right, over the generations, behema, gasa, a woman simply physically couldn't handle. This is true about life, men and women. I don't have to repeat what's going on in the crazy world today. But when men declare themselves women and start swimming in races with women, there's a big outcry today that all these transsexuals are going to win all the awards because they're really men and they're competing against women and they have more physical strength. But Behema Dakot, I can tell you that we have documents from the Renaissance that women actually shecht in, did the shechita, and we have documents that women did nikur on behemot gasot, and certainly the women kashin, and they were totally believed, Ma'ika Hadin. All right, he deals with that problem too. The main problem, I would say, that he comes up with and that he sticks to very strongly is the question, let me just see that my papers are in order, is the question of Melech Velo Malka. And here is the whole question of Svara, of a woman having a position of power, bossing people around. Now, I have to tell you, and we discussed this last week, I have a problem here, because what is Shrara? How do you define it? To me, Shrara means something like sovereignty, something like malchut, a position where you really have power. Does a mashgiach really have power? All right, we'll see in a moment how Reb Menashe Klein discusses it, then we'll see Reb Meisha. Does a rabbi really have power? Can a woman be a rabbi? And I said, and I told you over the years that in the whole debate about women being rabbi, I don't take the position it's because of Shrava that she can't be. I have other reasons, much more valid. But having been in the rabbinate, I'm very hesitant to say that a rabbi is Shrara. But nevertheless, Reb Menashe Klein, the Rambam, and the Ramelech, the Malka, it's a Sifri, and the Rambam says it applies to any appointment, both a woman, both a ger, and therefore he is very negative about a woman becoming a mashgicha kashya. Now, the person asking the question throws at Reb Menashe Klein that Reb Moshe Feinstein was matir. And we'll come to Reb Moshe. I'm not going to do it now. I want to finish Reb Menashe Klein, but we'll come to Reb Moshe in great detail. It's a very important shufa. Mark Wiener, I'd like you to check this out in Chicago. I don't want to get confused now between the two marks and the supermarket in Chicago. But I seem to recall that this shaila that Reb Moshe got, because he doesn't give details from where, what, for obvious reasons, he didn't want to embarrass anyone. I seem to recall that it came from Chicago. If I'm correct, and this check out, there was Carmel Kosher Foods in Chicago. Did you ever hear of it? Does it exist today? Carmel Kosher. No, you don't hear of it. You do hear of it? You'll tell me later. I believe Rabbi Ziemba, who was a nephew to Reb Menachem Zemba, Hashem Yikom Domo, the great Reb Menachem Zemba who perished in the Warsaw Ghetto, I believe that it was his nephew who gave the Hashgacha. And I believed he died young and he left his wife and children without any means of support. All right, there was no pension, there was no social security. It's not like the world today where Baruch Hashem, I remember when YU, I started teaching in YU in 62, and I believe the pension plan was introduced in 63. And I was a young kid, you know, I never concerned myself with money, for better or for worse. And people were so happy there's going to be a pension plan. And I have to tell you, how many years is it today? Today it's 2023. I'm still getting money for my years of teaching in the 60s from the YU pension plan. I mean, it's amazing. So, Baruch Hashem, but Rabbi Zemba died and there was nothing there. And he leaves a widow with children. Now, as I recall, the owners of the plant in Chicago were very decent people. And they said to the Rebbetzin, look, you're learned. You're a Rebbetzin. You know what your husband did here in the plant. You continue. And you'll give the hashgacha and we'll pay you exactly what we paid your husband. And this was the question that came to Reb Moshe. Now, Reb Moshe was matir. Why was matir? We'll see later. But Reb Menashe Klein, it's hard for him to take on Reb Moshe. I mean, he was matir, and we're not dealing here with Erev, where there's a tremendous difference between Reb Moshe and Reb Menashe Klein. How can you be machmir if Reb Moshe was mekil? And here there's a very interesting paragraph. You'll see it on the tshuva. We're talking Chelek Tetzayin, Siman Chavtalit. It's a continuation of what we began last week. And it's dealing with Svara, just Svara. And Reb Menashe Klein says that you can't bring a proof from Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe the Tzaddik was breaking his heart was broken that here that this Talmud Chacham died. V'hishiach harav almana ubanecha yetomim v'yein biyadal leporta v'hi isha tznua v'yirat Hashem v'gam chachama unavona. This is Reb Menashe Klein describing Reb Moshe Feinstein's description of the Almana, and he says that Reb Moshe dochak v'tzta'er atzmo habei b'tzaron shel almana v'yatomim v'limtza eishe heta l'almana. Zu eshet chaver shetiye mashkachat al hamifal biofen shelotiye mashkiach ela poelat eitzalarav. And he goes on and on that Reb Moshe was breaking his heart, breaking over backwards, bending over backwards. What can I do to help this almana? But don't bring a proof from this case to what you're asking me about in Baltimore. There's no almana involved, there's no yatomin involved. And he says, with all due respect to Reb Moshe and all that he did, and Reb Moshe, how he dismisses the Rambam, lo melech v'lo melech v'lo malka, don't bring that in to the case under discussion. Now, here too you see something very fascinating, and I just dictated to Yoma this morning. I had quite a few emails to answer. So someone asked me a shaila, and I answered. I said, look, it's a machlokes ha-poskim, and halacha l'maisa, I would give a different answer to a different person. It all depends who's asking me. And this is exactly what Reb Menashe Klein is saying. You're dealing here, all right, Reb Moshe had sich ausgequetscht a chetta. He squeezed out a chetta. But to Baltimore, it doesn't apply. And this is Reb Menashe Klein. Okay. Now, then he continues. And here, David, you have the problem. And this is the problem we live with, and it's part of the halachic process. If you could hear all the shirim I've given over on this topic since 78, you'd understand me very clearly. We Torah Jews are not anxious to innovate. we're afraid of innovation. And this goes, it's not just the Chatam Seifas, the Chadash HaSumana Torah. It comes all the way down. It's not just in Lakewood, it's not just in Panovich, it's in Merkaz Harav, it's in YU. We're afraid to innovate. And you got to see the next paragraph where Reb Menashe Klein is very clear. We're living at a time where they're trying to break down all barriers. We're living at a time, he says, where they want it, we quoted this last week, they want it to turn women into men and men into women. He doesn't realize how right he was. He's writing this 24 years ago. Imagine if he'd be living today. And he said, and Reb Moshe, lo alta libo, he never thought that his case would be a precedent. Reb Moshe is talking about the Almana and the Yatomim. V'chas v'chalila lazuz b'minhag Yisrael sheme'olam lo hinichu l'noshim liyot mashkichim. And we never ever experienced where this would be the case that women should take over the hashgacha. And he says, and Allah had come of a come, and I believe Carmel Kosher was a meat factory, if I'm not mistaken. Mark, if you can check it out, I'd be very happy, because this is years ago, but Azay Duch Sich Me'op, this is what's implanted in my mind.
I remember years and years ago, a can, small can of kosher gravy, and I believe it had a Rebbetzin's
hashgacha.
Vic, it was welcome, also a welcome dessert.
Okay, could be. But this is what I think Reb Moshe is dealing with. Okay, I can go back to teaching. You've muted everyone. Okay, Yashikayach. Mark is handling it from Chicago. What a world. And he says, he uses these words, I'm quoting him, we never heard about this in Europe. And you see, this is the key factor. We never heard about this in Europe. And once again, he throws in the srara that here you're taking a woman, you're making her a boss, you're putting her in charge, you're going against an open Rambam. And halacha l'maisa, Reb Menashe Klein asses, putting a woman into a position of hashgacha. All right. The question of we never heard about it in Europe, and this is what the whole halachic process is based upon. Excuse me? We spoke about that already. We'll speak about it more when we deal with Reb Moshe in a minute. But the question, we never heard about it in Europe, and this is the ongoing challenge to poskim. I can give you a simple example. Take a classic shayla, which is a lot more serious than just the woman being a mashkicha. Agunot. Take the question of agunot. So here you have agunot, the whole sugya in at the end of Yevamot. It's not something new. And among the Rishonim, you have so many tshuvot. I need not tell you, Otzar Poskim had something like 7 volumes entirely devoted to Siman Yud Zayin in Shulchan Aruch Aven Ezra. Then you have Matan Times. You talk about agunot, a plane goes down. This is not one or two or three agunot. You could have 100 people on that plane who left wives, bodies are not recovered, plane goes down in the deep part of the ocean. What about the Twin Towers when the Arabs knock out the United States? So many Jews are in the Twin Towers. How many agunot will you have? And you see, this is the challenge. How can you be matir and you don't have a body? And how do we approach it? And it took a long time in modern times. This is why everyone looks back to Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan Spector, because in the 19th century, these problems started to come up on a massive level. And Reb Yitzchak Chochanan Spector developed a system of Terei Sveika, Terei Rubei, and he organized it into a formal method that all the poskim have followed for the last 120 years. You talk about World War I, you talk about the Shoah, you talk about Milchemet Yom Kippurim, everything goes back to Reb Chochanan. But it took time for the halachic process. It's not that they developed anything new. I call it the halachic dynamics. We're not conservative Jews. We're not reformed Jews. We have to work within the halachic framework. But there's a certain dynamic at work. And it takes time until you can meet the challenge head on. And there are many examples, but Agun is the best example. I actually published on this. I'll just tell you the story. I told it to you years ago, but I'll repeat it. A doctorate was done in Reb Yitzchak Chochanan Spector. It was done by Rabbi Dr. Ephraim Shimoff, who I knew personally and later was a member of my congregation in Maplewood. These were YU Mismachim out of the 30s. They were Talmidei Chachamim and Yireim and Vishleimim, he and his wife, a wonderful, wonderful couple. And he did a doctorate, a very nice doctorate, but it was published later by Sura Institute, which is a shoot-off of Bernard Gavel Graduate School. It's a very nice doctorate, but there's not one word in there in Agunot. And he writes in the introduction that Rabbi Belkin and members of the Bernard Revel Graduate School faculty told him it's too difficult a topic to write about in English. No one will really understand it. So on the 100th yard side of Reb Yitzchak Chochanan, I published what you could call a supplement to the doctorate of Rabbi Shimoff on Heter Agunah according to Reb Yitzchak Chochanan. It appeared in Tradition. It's been republished now in a third time in Rakaf HaRaron. It may be Chelik Bet, Chelik Alef, I think it's Chelik Bet, but it just must be published again, and anyone who wants it, I'm happy to give it to you. But you see, it took time. And I would say, just because they didn't do it in Europe, doesn't mean that 100 years later, in the United States of America, where women are heart specialists, where women are neurosurgeons, where women are taking over the medical profession, we have to reevaluate the woman, the mashgiach. I'm not willing to accept what Reb Menashe Klein says so forcefully, and it's not just Reb Menashe Klein. This is part of our thinking. We didn't see it in Europe. If we didn't see it in Europe, it's not the way Jews live. All right, as I said last week, ain't a roa, ain't a raya. The Achronim already say this, that just because you didn't see it, it doesn't mean it's halachically forbidden. But this is a delicate issue. And when you get a shaila, you have to take so much into consideration. That's why, if you recall my lectures on how to paskin many years ago, I quoted Rav Yosef Elio Henkin, that he was opposed to answering a shaila over the telephone. He felt in order to answer a shaila, you have to see the person, you have to know the person, you have to. Over the telephone, it's not the right way to answer a shaila. Of course, many times we have no choice. But what he did advise, if you do get a shaila over the telephone, take the phone number of the person asking the shaila. You should be able to contact him if you change your mind or if you want to know more facts. Okay, now I want to come to Reb Moshe Feinstein. And the Gadol Meirapim Shemo, Reb Moshe was Reb Moshe. Again, if you didn't know Reb Moshe, you can't start to comprehend who we're talking about. But there were no heirs. He was just Reb Moshe. Am I right or wrong, Vic? There was a certain... He was a gon adir. Reb Moshe said about himself that till he turned 60, he never forgot anything. Imagine, till he turned 60, he said, I didn't know what shichacha means. He had a cup that, and he had a father was an Adam Gadol too. You got to remember that too, that his father, he had good shemesh, and Reb Pesach Priskin to a certain degree was his Rebbe, and he had shemesh Gedolei Yisrael in Psak Halacha. And I'm quoting to you from the Igret Moshe, Yoredeya, Chelek Sheni. It's the second time he's dealt with Yoredeya. It came out in 1973, and it's Siman Mem Dalad. And here's the Shiloh, exactly what I've told you. By the way, the tshuva is to Rav Baruch Aaron Pupko in Pittsburgh. And a few words about the Rabbi Pupko in Pittsburgh. I taught members of his family. You're talking here, he was a great nephew of the Chafetz Chaim. His father was the Veleza Rav. Reb Leza Pupko was an Adam Gadol. He was a nephew. He was a nephew of the Chafetz Chaim. And he winds up in Philadelphia. And as far as I know, all his kids became Talmid Chachamim. Not all went into the rabbinate or remained in the rabbinate. But the most successful among them in the rabbinate was Rabbi Pupko. Anyone from Pittsburgh listening to me, ask your grandparents who they recall as the leading rabbi in Pittsburgh, and the chances are you will get the name Rabbi Baruch Aaron Pupko. He was a Talmud Mufak of Rabbi Revel, a Talmud Mufak of Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik. He was a Musmach of the Yeshiva, something very special. And as I recall, his entire rabbinate was in Pittsburgh. I later taught his daughter and in Michlala, and it's quite a family, the Pupko family. My first teaching position, 1959, when my kid daughter couldn't, we were talking with her last night over the telephone, she couldn't believe I'm teaching Torah as the 63rd year, technically the 64th year, because I started teaching in 1959, make the cheshbon, but I'm only counting the academic year. So it's, who was my principal? Shlomo Witte. Shlomo Witte, Zichron Levracha, was married to a Pupko. Your father was also part of the Pupko family. And I remember in Bnei Akiva, there was a Pupko family from Philadelphia, was also a Rav. And I remember there were twins, two girls in Bnei Akiva, twins, the Pupko twins. I mean, it's quite a family. Here in Israel, you have Pupkos all over. A good deal of the family has come back. I talked with the Pupko family in Machon Gold. Quite a family. Now, he describes the question that we're talking about in Almana, Eishet Talmud Chacham, Asher Haya Mashgiach Al Kashrut, V'nishara B'lo Klum. See, that's something that's very sad, that today you talk about the state of Israel, there's public welfare, there's chesed, there's tremendous chesed that the state does. When you pay taxes, there's a good chance that you don't have to give tzedakah, that your very taxes are tzedakah, maisa, because it goes, for many instances, education, shuls, mikvot, social chesed, etc. The tshuvat, you should know, the Tzitz Eliezer deals with it. There's no question that part of your tax money can be considered pure tzedakah, and it's in the highest sense of tzedakah. Of course, it's something anonymous. No one knows who's giving it or who's taking it. By the time the money reaches the recipient, it's gone through government hands. And but this lady's left with nothing. And Ein la mamala fanes panah hayatomim ve kashe u bashe ki ishat snua v'yirat at Hashem b'yamet v'hi gam chachama nebona u balet achrayut ashe yesh lismoch ale shehi tiye tachet bala lachashkiach v'yela mizeh hapanasa v'ura v'avur b'necha. Wow! And this is what he's asking Reb Moshe. Can we allow her to take over this formal heksha? Now, Reb Moshe gets involved right away with sources, and this is what I alluded to before. Can we believe a woman It's an interesting sugya in Gittin, the first sugya in Gittin, Daf Bet Amud Aleph. When I quote this sugya, it's very emotional to me because the 7 years I was a Rebbe in Yeshivas B'Shol Chanan in New York, a Rebbe, what they call a Rosh Yeshiva Min Hashuran. Those days it was a different, it was a smaller yeshiva and it was one unit, Yeshivas B'Shol Chanan. And I taught Gittin, I taught this, I still remember teaching this, I still remember some of the Talmidim I had every class, because I remember I made up, in order to spare time, bim-bam, b'fanei nichtav u'b'fanei nechtam, and we shouldn't waste time saying it all. So, ha-mevi getnu midin t'tayam tzarech yomar b'fanei nichtav u'b'fanei nechtam. That's an interesting Gemara. Gemara begins. You bring a get from Medina Tayam, and you have to, one person has to say Eidot that it was executed properly. Look at the Gemara Daf Bet Amid Bet. Why do you need this Eidot? So there are two different opinions in the Gemara. One opinion is that in Chutz La'aretz the people are generally ignoramuses. Lefi shein became lishma, and they don't know how to do a get. And you look into Rashi, you see, again, ignoramuses really don't know this, but this is so important. There's a big difference between a ketuvah and a get. You can pick up, go to the garbage can, and someone threw away a format for a ketuvah. By the way, I actually have seen this done, where they had suddenly Rabbanah made a mistake in how they're writing the ketuvah, and they needed a new ketuvah. I've seen this more than once, and the owner of the catering service or the hotel, wherever it was, he pulls from his drawer some old ketuvah that was thrown away, never used, all folded up, ashmata, and they unfold it and write in. A ketuvah doesn't have to be lishma. A ketuvah is a contract between two people. I owe you money. I promise to support you. You fill in the names. A get, la, lishma, the whole sugya in Gittin. If it's not written for the woman, for the man, l'shem gerushin, it's worthless. You can have the most beautiful get in the world printed out with colors and beautiful, and you have a PDF. I'm hearing sounds, Yomo. Is that a problem, Yomo? You can have a PDF, the most beautiful ketuvah in the world, but it's worthless. A ketuvah, you could use it, but not for a get. It has to be lishma, lishen geirushin. So people are ignoramuses in Chutz La'aretz. You want to know the get was written properly? So that's one reason Hamevi get me medina tayam tzarich lomar b'fanei nichtam b'fanei nechtam. Okay. One person. You don't see the whole sugya. You don't need two. Why only one? We'll see in a minute. Then there's another reason that how do you establish a get is good? If you don't know the people involved, you don't know the edim, you don't know the signatures, you have to know that they're legitimate, that they're b'shomrei Torah mitzvah, that they're not related to each other, that they're not related to the chatan v'kala. These are real problems, by the way. I know cases took place in America when people were mayaretz. There was one rabbi, not a big Talmud Chacham, and he brought his brother, he wanted to be sure he's performing a wedding, that he has a Shemesh Shabbos aid, he brought his brother with him. You follow? And someone told them, two brothers can't be Eidim. It's Krovim, Zelazah, and Lechakivi, Yotegadolah. Two brothers? I remember when I was Masada Kedushin in the rabbinate, I used to bring a Talmud of mine. I had them pay him, I think, $10. And for the Talmud, it was a lot of money. And I knew I had an Eid, a Shemesh Shabbos, but I didn't have to worry who's going to be at the wedding. Where am I going to find the Shon of Torah Mitzvah who's not related? You know, you never know. You could find, it might be. But in the 1960s, if I may use my Mama Lashin's Gevenzeya Zelten, it was very rare to find someone at an American wedding, even from an Orthodox rabbi being Masada condition, should be a Shemesh Shabbos, could be a Nave. So the reason you have testimony, b'fani nichtav, b'fani nechtam, is to establish that it was done right, the Edom Akasha, the Masada Gittin knew what he was doing. So this is the sugya. I'm scratching the surface. It's a very fascinating sugya in Masechet Gittin. Now, you look into Tosfos there. Tosfos Daf Bet Amid Bet. Divrei HaMatkil Eid Echad Ne'eman Be'isurin. And Tosfos gets involved. How do you believe one aid? How is it possible? One aid doesn't establish anything. And Tosfos says that there's certain instances where you're totally samach on one individual, one person. And Yesh Leima, the Alfinin Minita, the Dashinin, Beperek Hamadi, quotes the Gemara in Tuvot, V'Safra La, the Torah says, I'm quoting from Vayikra, Mitzora, Perek Tetvav, Pasuk Chafchet, V'Safra La, Shivi Yamim, V'Acha Titha. And you see, all of Hilchot Tarat Mishpacha, all of Hilchot Nida, depends upon the woman. V'safra la, she, you trust her 100%. So you see from there that where certain questions, it's not formal eidot, it's simply gilui milta. I'm paraphrasing Tosfot. You want to know that it was done properly. You want to know that this meat is kosher. You want to know that the Shevinikim were done properly. One aid for Safrala, total ne'emanut. So Reb Moshe quotes that Tosfot, that it's a big proof that you can believe a woman, and a woman has ne'emanut, and here you're dealing with Tarat Mishpacha, you're dealing with Isa Veheta, and nevertheless, the woman has absolute ne'emanut. Okay, one source. Now a second source. I also have to tell you, very moving for me, because I also taught Psachim during the years I was a Rebbe in the yeshiva. If I recall correctly, 2 years Gittin, 2 years Kedushin, 2 years Psachim. I have written down, I have to check what the seventh year was that I taught. Offhand, I don't recall. Could be I spent more than 2 years on one of those Masechtot. But I remember 2 years Psachim, 2 years Gittin, 2 years Kedushin, that I remember clearly. Okay, now the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Dalid Amid Aleph. Hakol ne'emanim al bir chametz, afilu nashim, afilu avadim, afilu ketamim. And what's going on here? God says, my time of what I believe. They're all psulei eidot. I'm paraphrasing Rashi, quoting Art Scroll. These types of people are not valid witnesses. They should therefore not be believed when they say that the chametz has been destroyed. And the Gemara answers, The kasava, hakol chaverim chayim etzol bedikat chametz. That, how would I translate it? Everyone cares about bedikat chametz. It's the heart of Yiddishkeit. Chametz on Pesach. It's life. Kiloi milta. No different than Nida, no different than Kashrut. Person says they did it, they did it. Kiloi milta. You can believe them. 100%. Kol chaverim. People care, concern. Don't need eitut. This is life. Everyone, chavra chavra itlay. We're interconnected. Believe each other. Stop believing each other. Life could not go on. And then the Gemara continues. There's another factor too. By bedikat chametz, we can be more lenient than any eidut in the world. Why? This, by the way, plays a big role in halakha l'maisa. Bitul chametz. We all are mevatel chametz. What do we do after the bedika? Mevatel the chametz. Levei ka'afra di'ara. What do we do after the bir chametz? Erev Pesach morning? Or Shabbat, when Pesach falls Matzai Shabbat? Mevatel the chametz. Alright, I mean, you, at that moment, you don't have to sell your chametz. At that moment, be the oraita, it's not yours, it's gone, it's offered the ara. You totally abrogate, negate it, turn it into nothing. See, Torah has a good imagination. And then we sell chametz, and that's why we can have so many kulot with chametz. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's what the Gemara is saying. You can believe nashim, avadim, eidechad, after the beetle. It's only the Rabbanan. What's involved here? Now, this is very important, because I'll tell you, and I've often said this, no one's been able to answer my question. We had a chumra in America. I have the chumra here. We never sell chametz be'en. You know, we try to get rid of the expense. I remember once a Rebbetzin and a Rav asked me to take care of their apartment. They were going to a hotel for Pesach. And I opened the freezer and I take a look. There's challah in the freezer. They left it to have when they come. And I was flabbergasted, you know. Who would leave challah? I remember asking the Rav about whiskey. I remember Rav Yosef Weiss told me he would take his last bottle of whiskey and go down to the Harlem River and pour it into the Harlem River. The fish must have been overjoyed with his beer chametz. So the Rav told me, no, aminig is schnapps we sell. It's tarovet chametz. You follow? And that we sell. Hefsed merubah, etc. All right. Here in Israel, you can have all the chumras in the world. You walk into Osherad the day after Pesach, they just bought back $10 million worth of chametz be'en. You follow what I'm saying, David? You walk into Rami Levi. What, am I questioning Osherad that they're not good Jews? They're tzaddikim.
People don't do mechirat chametz in the States?
Excuse me?
People don't do
mechirat chametz. No. The answer is very simple. So in the States, you go shopping. When I was growing up, Safeway, AMP, it's Gaisha ownership. The Jews are a minority. The whole question. So there, I'm a tzaddik. I'm being machmir not to sell chametz. And you understand what I'm saying? But when you go in, and now in America, you probably have the problem too. You have kosher supermarkets. So I don't say it's a problem. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm just showing you that the chumra in Israel, it's impossible to keep that chumra. Because the day after, in America, what did you do? You didn't buy from a Jewish supermarket until Shavuos time. Remember? Chametz shel Lev Pesach, if it was Jew. But by the way, the Shoprite, which was Jewish owned, sold their chametz before Pesach. They had a rabbi. I mean, there's whole with beer distributors. I remember it turns out that the biggest distributor in the New York area was a Jew. They had him sell the chametz, all right. But But a saving grace is beer chametz, that the mevatel the chametz. So at that level, it all turns into what the rabbanim, the writer has got. You follow me? Now, all right, but this is the sugya. And you see here, be it as it may, whether you take the pshara kol chaverim, and there's no question that women are chaverot, just like men are chaverim. I didn't say they didn't care much more. My wife, Chanukah is Erev Pesach already in my house for Sparach Hashem, many, many decades. The women, what they carry on with Pesach, I mean, it's beyond comprehension. I told you the other week, imagine you'll tell a woman, I'll spread chametz crumbs on the floor and on top of it I'll make the Seder. No, pirur magonish, that's bottle mavutal. You try and pull that, your wife will hang you from the nearest flagpole. The women are chavera. And also it's a derabbanan, not a deoraita. Now, Tosfot here, this is what I referred you to last, when I mentioned the chesed. Now I'll give you the source. This is something. One second. Is it Tosfos here? Is it Tosfos in Eruvin? I just want to be sure. Okay. Okay. So here you're looking to Rashi at the bottom of the very bottom of the page, Daftalit Amar Aleph. You're looking to Rashi, and you'll see that Rashi already says that the greatness about Pesach is, what does it mean that everyone is concerned, that everyone has a din of a chaver, that there's rizin. Pesach talks to people. Pesach people care about. And they are zrizin, including women. And while they may not, in other areas, you may question whether you believe them, but when it comes to Pesach, 100% women are zrizin. Women are careful. Women care. And women, you can be samach on them 100%. Now, we'll see a follow-through in a minute, Neiruvin. But talking about chametz, Pesach, take a woman, the way Rabbi Pupko describes this almana, that she is zrizah, dependable, learned, filled with Yirat Shemayim, then obviously any type of hashkacha should be no different than bedikat chametz. The woman is a chavera. The woman is riza. The woman cares. And it could even be an isa d'oraita. The first opinion later when you come, it's only the rabban and it's after bittul. But even if it's an isa d'oraita, you have a good case to make that you can absolutely believe and depend upon the woman. And here, the Gemara Neiruvin, there's a whole sugya, Daf Nun Chet Amid Bet, and it's a famous sugya, that how do you know where the Tchum ends? How do you know what the rabbis marked off? Whenever you come to a new area, and I mentioned with the Washington Bridge, I remember we were trying to establish in the 1950s in Bnei Akiva, could you walk across the Washington Bridge on Shabbos?
Washington Bridge or George Washington?
The George, the big bridge, not the Washington. There's a, you're almost right, no one in the world knows this unless you're a Bronxite or from Washington Heights, but there's a little bridge that goes from the Bronx into Washington Heights. That bridge is called the Washington Bridge. Why they gave it the same name as the big bridge, I don't know. It's like the Junior George Washington. Major bridge, every movie that you see out of the 30s, the 40s, the cars going across the bridge, then they built the second level. Oh, what went on with that bridge? And now, until today, it's a very important connection. People living in Teaneck, people living in Englewood, have to get to Washington Heights, have to get to Manhattan, have to get to Columbia Presbyterian Hospital. That is the bridge. The other one is called Washington, but the Washington is no Shiloh because it's a much smaller bridge. But the George Washington, so you want to establish, did rabbis measure, is there any tradition, do you know how far it goes, because at 2,000 cubits, we're not going to start measuring on our own. So the Gemara says, afilu eved, afilu shifchin eman loma ad kan tchum Shabbat. Even a male slave and a female slave who are not normally accepted as witnesses with regard to biblical law, but when it comes to Tchum Shabbos, we believe them. They can say, we saw a specific expert measure the Tchum until this point. Ultimately, if they say that people always walked until this point on the Sabbath, we believe them. It is not necessarily to remeasure the Tchum again. We can depend upon them. Now, look into Tosfot. Daf Nun Tet Amir Aleph V'Tchumin D'Rabbanan Divrei HaMatchil. And Tosfot gets involved in the whole question, is Tchum the Oraita, the Rabbanon, could be if it's only the Rabbanon, then we believe them, the Oraita, we don't believe them. And then at the end of Tosfot, he gets involved with believing women about Chametz, Bedikat Chametz. And here Tosfos says, and he quotes, and it's what I mentioned in passing last week, he quotes a Yerushalmi that when it comes to Chametz, Lefikach yesh lachush li atzlut hanashim, that Bedikat Chametz, cleaning out the house, is very hard, you have a lot of work to do, and could be women are lazy. And he quotes the Yerushalmi, Ika mandi yama denashim einen emanot bedidikat chametz mipnei shechem atzilut ubatkot kol shechu. What do you say, Vic? Does this apply today? Would you say women are lazy? Don't do a good bedika? I don't know. I got news for you. I would be more samach on women than men when it comes to bedikat chametz. Yes, Yomo, what
you... The reason why women are sort of lazy when it comes to bedikas chametz is because they clean the house so much for so long and they think they know there's nothing left.
Okay, so,
so
let me tell you that it could very well be that Bedikat Chametz, and you'll see this in Achronim, that if you know you've cleaned your house thoroughly, the Bedikah can be less focalized on every piece of the floor, and the Bedikah is more a checklist. Did I clean this room? Did I clean here? Did I check the closet? Did I take away the candy that I had next to the couch? It's more of a checklist. So I wouldn't put women down if the women said, you know, here you don't have to, daf nishmachin hazah, bedika, yichabalsh klens gemach, devach. I cleaned it all, I know, here, underneath, I scrubbed, I washed. Could be. But, all right.
I've done the bedika in places, somewhere where it was thoroughly cleaned, and I was told that it should not be covered, and I still found.
And who did the original cleaning? I mean, yeah.
I know it was done very thoroughly.
Was it done by women or by men? I'm willing to bet you it was done by men, and that's how you found it. By the way, the halach is filled with finding chametz and chalamayim.
And I found a bottle of white vinegar in the laundry room.
What was white vinegar doing in the laundry room?
People use white vinegar sometimes
to clean clothes. Because it could be, if it's vinegar that you use for cleaning already, it's nipsal me'achilat kelev.
Regular
vinegar. All right, you had a find there. It was vinegar made from wheat or made from apples.
Regular white vinegar in the selling store is based
on wheat. Okay. So you proved why there can be sugyas of what do you do when you find chametz on Pesach, but Reb Moshe quotes all the sources, and he says that here with this lady who is so careful and zriza and learned, and it's all when you talk about the hashkacha, that she's in charge. It's within her ability to see that there will be nothing treif, nothing is forbidden. And Reb Moshe says, there's no cheskatisa. See, he's dealing with all the problems you can raise, that if it's the right then it's a cheskatisa, maybe we won't trust the woman. And why? He says, this is a kosher factory. And even if the owner is not observant, but in the factory, he's certainly not going to bring in something non-kosher. He doesn't want to lose his business. And this is why we say there's no cheskat isha here. It's lehefech. It's Sherov Devarim Konim Vadai Devarim Kshenrim Mitzat Mitzat. Now, Mitzat Mitzat. See, this, again, is a very important concept in Kashrut. All the milk that we drink in Chutzla Aretz is based upon Mitzat Mitzat. Rav Moshe's Tshuva, others, how can you use Chalav Akum? Because no place in a civilized Western country where there are laws against using anything but cow milk, for whatever the reasons are, there are health reasons involved and other reasons, if you're going to bring in milk from camels or from animals that are not kosher, and you're caught, your whole business goes kaput. And this is why Reb Moshe says, Mishum Mirtat, we can depend upon government inspection. They're not going to bring in any treif milk. And by the way, to the best of my knowledge, we have never yet had a case where the government had to put a firm like, for the sake of argument, Delwood or some other milk producer out of business, because they brought in, it wouldn't pay for them. I'm told that the non-treif milk, that the treif milk is more expensive than cow milk. Cow milk is what everyone drinks. That's what you produce. It's available. And this is Mishum Mirtat. So Rav Moshe says that here there's no cheskat isha, because an owner would be frightened that he will be caught. The minute he is caught, he loses his business. And no intelligent, decent, upright individual will want to lose his business. So the woman, mitzad ne'amanut, should have total ne'amanut here. There's no cheskat isa. She is zrizut, she cares, it's her panasa, it's the children she has to support. But now we come to the big chiddush of Reb Moshe, and this chiddush, David, resonates right in Ma'ale Adumim at this very moment in time. Vic, what is the problem? open up the Rambam again. Hilchat Malachim, Perik Aleph, Halacha Hey. And the Rambam says, Ein mamidim ishav b'malchot shenema melech v'lo malka. And then he ends the Sifri, Pasuk Shoftim. And then he adds on, V'chein kol mesimot shebi Yisrael ein mimanim bahem ela ish. And that's an edition of the Rambam. Maimonides adds on, any appointment, even to be in charge of alternate street side parking in Borough Park, even to be in charge of collecting the garbage in Taupiyat Mizrach, only a man, not a woman. That's the simple pshat. That's the way all the basic Nosei Kelim learn pshat in the Rambam. And if this is the case, Srara, and if this is Srara Malach, Srara, oh Malka, I can understand the Melech. He can execute you. Dinah de Malchut is the right or wrong. He has the power. Dinah de Malchut didn't execute you. You almost got mad at me years ago when I said the only place a Jew can live outside of Israel is in Russia. It's the one place where they observe the Sheva Mitzvah properly, and men can't marry men and women can't marry women. And you almost said that Putin's a killer. And if you play the tape, you'll hear me say to him, you dummy, he has a right to kill, right? Establish freedom or marriage Sanhedrin. Don't argue with me about Putin, we'll leave that. Yeah. Putin was declared now public enemy number one. There's a warrant out for his arrest.
And Ukraine busy with same-sex partnerships now.
Yeah, in the Ukraine? Yeah, all right. Ukraine, so that's... I have to tell the world that Yomo and Reb Yosef Hatzadik Mendelovich both came out in favor of Putin. Two great people.
I'm not supporting either.
Yosef Hatzadik wrote an article. It appeared in one of the, I think, in Olam Katan last week. Totally in favor of Russia. I couldn't believe it. And here's a person who was arrested and suffered, who was in prison and labor camp, and totally in favor. Okay, now this Rambam, Reb Moshe, this is now a real problem. And if you take that a mashgiach kashrut, and she has the right to tell the malavash, get rid of that product that's not kosher. She has a right to tell the malavash, these 10 pans are treif, throw them out with a loss of at least $2,000 worth of food, etc. Wow. This is Srara, according to Reb Moshe. I have a problem. To me, I understand Srara to mean like a melech. All right. This is Srara. Sovereignty. That's the word I would like to use. The rabbinate, I have a problem. I have to be honest. I do not see Srara in the rabbinate. All right. But it's my own opinion. The achronim are against me. And Reb Moshe has to deal with this. Every appointment, this is a woman, she can boss around the man. She's in charge. She's giving the heksha. Noam Schloss, when he gives a heksha, Coca-Cola, he's in charge. Drake's, all those beautiful cakes, wow, he's in charge. She's in charge. Svara, all right, Reb Moshe has to deal with it. And Reb Moshe, first of all, the Rambam, see, this is the heart of the problem. The Sifri says, Melech v'lo Malka. And by the way, you know, there were Malkot in the history of our people. So that's like Devorah, Shofetet, I would have to say Kiblu Aleihem, etc. But that's not for now. It's a different sugya. But where did the Rambam get V'chein kol mishimat shebi Yisrael ein nimanim bahem Elohim. Where did he get that? See, that's the problem. And here, Reb Moshe takes a Sefer HaChinuch. Need not tell you, Sefer HaChinuch is a Rishon. We're not sure until today exactly who authored the Sefer HaChinuch. But the Sefer HaChinuch is a Rishon. And you look into the Sefer HaChinuch, I'm quoting Mitzvah Tav Tzadi Gimel. Tav Tzadi Gimel. Mitzvah Minui Melech Olenu. And the Sefer HaChinuch, you know how he's organized, the mitzvah, the shorish of the mitzvah, midini ha-mitzvah. When he starts to talk about the dinim, he quotes the Sifri, Shenema melech velo malka, and he paraphrases the Rambam, but learns the Rambam differently. V'lo ha-malchut b'vad ala kol ha-sfarad shechein b'ma'aseh o b'shem kavod min ha-shemot ha-nichbadim v'chol ha-minuyim she-b'Yisrael b'Yerusha heim lo la-adam she-zolcheh ba-b'no acharav u-ben-b'no u-ben Ben b'no adli olam. V'hu sheyehei memalei makom avotav v'yirat shamayim. Vic, an entire new interpretation. And the Sefer HaChinuch is right. What is Shrara? Sovereignty. That it belongs to the family. It's not just any appointment. An appointment which goes with hereditariness, with hereditary, inherited. Imagine if I could find out that my great-great-great-grandfather was a duke, and I can trace it down son after son, call me Duke Rakefet, hereditary, baron, baroness, prince, princess. No, Yoma, where does the Shaila come up, la halacha? No, how many tshuvot have been written? The rabbinate. The rabbinate. Chatam Seifals, everyone. Why you? Reb Moshe dies. The Rav, can he succeed his father? Can't he succeed his father? Opposition. The Agudas HaRabbanim, a letter to YU. Appoint the Rav, it is his. He has the right to succeed his father. Quote the Sefer HaChinuch, for who sheyehem amalom makav abotav biyirat shemayim. I'm going to lead into, you pick it up on the YU Torah. For whom shemamalei makom abotav biyirat shemayim. The Rav, yirat shemayim, lamdin mufak, may even be greater than his father. What did the Dvavram say about the Rav? The Ruach from Reb Chaim rests of him, the rests on him. The Ruach of Reb Chaim Briska you can find in his grandson, Mori Urebi, Reb Yosef Dov. Wow. What do you say, Mark and Mark? This is ample reason. Put the Rav in. It is his. This is the whole machloket. Does the rabbinate go with Yerusha? What happened in Kew Gardens Hills with Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld when he retired, old age, illness, brought in his son, Rabbi Yoel? There was opposition. No, others said, it's the son of the father who built the shul. The son is the Yerei Shemayim. He belongs here. Well, if this is the interpretation of Srara, then being a Mashkicha is not Srara. She's appointed, all right? She's taking her husband's place. Does this mean the children inherit it? Does this mean the grandchildren inherit it? Is this a title, a baron, a baroness, a mashkicha? Absolutely not. And Reb Moshe, la halacha la maisa, is dismissing the basic interpretation of the Rambam that this applies, melech l'rom malkah applies to all appointments? No. We can follow the Sefer Chinuch. And the Sefer HaChinuch has a different take on the Rambam. And if this understanding is correct, and it certainly makes sense, what a sovereignty. King Charles inherits his mother, Queen Elizabeth. What a sovereignty. Yes, when there's Yerusha, it transfers, it continues with the children, in the words of the Chinuch, Ad Sof Kol Dorot. But this doesn't apply to a Mashkicha in Carmel Kosher in Chicago. Wow. And then here's the big chap of Reb Moshe, which has been adopted, halacha l'maisa, affects all of us sitting here today. Reb Moshe says, there's a way to solve the problem. Don't hire the woman. Hire the Rav, whoever will take over the Hechshav. And the lady works for the Rav. And that solves the problem. What is she doing? She is just being a source of information. She is telling the rabbi, everything is in order, everything is in line, the kitchen is running properly, all the goods being brought in are kosher l'mahadrin. I'm in charge, I have the key, I run the refrigerator, I run the freezer, I accept the delivery. This is what's involved in kashrut. Now, what would be interesting, I'd like to know if Reb Moshe's will or wish or directive was carried out. Did Rabbi Pupko, in other words, whoever took the Hechsha, took it without taking a penny. They took it so the woman should report to them. She, in reality, was giving the Hechsha. She, in reality, was the Rabbanut HaMachshira. We'll put it that way. But I'm very curious whose name, you said you saw the name of a Rebbetzin. I would be very curious to see if we could dig up who actually gave the formal Hechsha. And this is Reb Moshe's big Chiddush. It's on in the Tshuva. Get myself, this is the Igra of Moshe. Okay, this is the Igra of Moshe. Yeah, this is the Igra of Moshe. Very good. Okay. It's on page Samach in the second column of the Igra of Moshe. Aval Nira, that if my interpretation of the Rambam is correct, then we can solve the problem. Yesh etzah lekayem gam shitat Rambam. שחיית יסחורה מהרב, שרק הרב יהיה הבעלים שלה. In other words, who does she answer to? The Rav. And if this is the case, the Balabayit, Yishalem Hascha of all Hashkacha the Rav, that she doesn't get paid by the Balabayit. The Rav gets paid, and he employs woman, and at that moment there is no din shrara, and it's just the Rav who is the ultimate authority, and he has to tell her how to be mashkicha, what is permissible, what isn't, and he is the ultimate somchim al harav, the ultimate authority. And v'nechshevet he rak ha'osei melechet harav b'dvarim sheyecholah la'asot, that she is just carrying out the wishes of the rav. Shenechshevet legavai harav rak kapoel bi'alma. She's just someone working for him. There's no shrara. She does not carry any title, but she can totally be believed because of who this woman is. Well, what a story. What a heta. What insight. And this is what Reb Menashe Klein says Reb Moshe was breaking his back, breaking his mind, bending over backwards to help this poor almana, to help the yatoimim. And he came up with the netzah, bedolcheik, bedolcheik, you'll see Reb Menashe Klein's tshuva. Yes, okay, Reb Moshe, gone at tzaddik in this particular case. Maybe it is an netzah. She works for the rabbi. But don't take Reb Moshe's tshuva and extend it everywhere else. Wow. This is to Rav Pupko. La halacha, make him. But don't extend it. Now, I just want to show you one step further. I'll leave the rest for next time we meet. But one step further in this tshuva, at the very end, Rabbi Pupko has asked him another question. And let me tell you, this question is a doozy. Only in America, I would say. Only in America would this question come up. Hold on one second. Baruch atah Adonai Melech Olam she'kol nihya b'dvaro. At the last paragraph of this first tshuva to Rabbi Pupko, and he says, you asked me another question. That a man and a woman were married, and at the end of 2 years of marriage, they got divorced. Time went by, and there was a reconciliation. Now, how did they get divorced? They got divorced legally. There was no get yet. But the whole world knows they got divorced. They don't know all the details. And now they want to remarry. But look, do they need a chuppah v'kedushin? They're still married. But as far as the government is concerned, they're divorced. They had a civil divorce. They never just finished the get. And while they were negotiating the get, they fell in love again. They woke up. They matured. They heard a lecture by a guy named Rakefet, and he taught them the word compromise. Without that, no marriage works out. Okay. So these people are from, and they want to remarry. The world thinks they're divorced. The world doesn't know all the details. They want to remarry with chuppah kedushin. They say it would be an insult that the world heard they remarried with a judge, and they don't know what to do. And maybe Rabbi Pupko says I can remarry them, make a chuppah kedushin, but not make bracha. You follow? There has to be some way you can work it out. And he doesn't know what to do. And just to make a chuppah for kedushin that without bracha is also, it's very strange. How would the people allow it? And the ultimate, what Rav Moshe is telling them is that, look, you can't make a chuppah kedushin, you can't turn it into a farce, and perhaps it's better they're remarrying because they want to have it recognized civilly. And fine, let them go to the court, judge, whatever they will do, and they can tell the world that it was a renewal of their marriage, that they always were married, they would never forget, but they had to go and show that there's a renewal, Shasiyat Shalom Beinehem, and this is what they had to do. But you can't go and do a whole new ceremony with a chuppah just because you want the people to think that their whole remarriage is al pi halacha. No, better to leave it civilly, but do it in a way that will be, you don't have to call it a marriage, you can call it, what do they call it, a renewal of the matrimonial commitment. I've read about it, I don't know if I've ever seen it, but people who are married 25 years, 50 years, they drag out the Edom if they're still alive, they drag out the rabbi, and they make a whole fancy affair, a renewal of the matrimonial commitment. And you'll see what Moshe has here. They could go before the judge and turn it into a ceremony and let the people know this is like a renewal, but all along there was no get and they were married b'kedusha u'b'tahara. They're from people. Thank God they found each other again. All right. My dear students, first of all, I want to thank everyone for joining me today and those who made the trip here, Vic Kolakavod, and the rain and with the buses and what we go through with the traffic jams, and in my case, living around the corner from the Prime Minister, imagine, and my student David Vogel lives around the corner from the President. And in the past, we would boast, we live in such luxurious locations around the corner from the most important people in the world. And boy, let me tell you what a hardship it is to live around the corner from the most important people in the world. So I want to thank everyone for honoring me with their presence, everyone on the screen. And David, I just want to tell you, I'll reach Male Adumim next time we meet, Be'ezrat Hashem. Okay, there are no questions here. Tomorrow we meet at 9 o'clock, and that'll be the last class until the Sunday after Pesach, Be'ezrat Hashem. Yomo, open it to the world.
Recording stopped.
Okay. Are there any comments from around the world?
Rebbe?
Yeah.
The Washington Bridge was named long before. It was built in the 19th century, about 40 years before the GW.
Ah, so that's...
And technically, there are actually five bridges in the area related to the name Washington, because you'd have to add three Guthol's bridges, the old cantilever and the new twin ones, cable stayed. His name was George Washington Guthol's.
One second. So what are you telling me, that the big bridge got the name because the guy who built it was George Washington Guthol?
No. The big bridge was named George Washington, but the other one had been named Washington 40 years before, so they didn't change it.
And who is it named after?
They were both named after George Washington.
Oh, okay.
The Guthol's bridges were named after someone who also had the name Washington.
Wow.
But they didn't put the name into the actual bridge.
Hey, Vanti.
And there were three of them because they built two new ones, cable stayed. All the new bridges going up in the area are cable stayed now. Uh-huh. They built two twin bridges to replace the old Guthol's.
Uh-huh. So I can tell you...
There were three of those.
The Washington...
I'm pretty sure I remember seeing the words under supervision of Rebbetzin Ziemba on packages of Carmel gelat and desserts. And I'm not sure, but I think it was when they were using actual gelatin from Shchutim, from Behemot Shchutot.
Well, with gelatin was a big machloikis, and there were matirim right down the line
right.
From Reb Chaim Meiser. And
some still consider it fleishik.
And it could be, I don't know, fleishik, because if you're matirim, you mean from Behemot Shchutot, then it could be, you could consider it fleishik. But very fascinating. Because Reb Moshe says, the Rav has to be the one giving her orders. Did a name of a rabbi appear, or just her name? And if it
I
was,
just saw her name. On
okay.
That, yeah.
and
the Homachukas and the other thing from Rav Chaim Ozer, and they say Rav Tzvi Pesach was also matir at one point, but they didn't have other alternatives then. Now they have.
No, that's...
No, they have other alternatives.
So
but
that,
most of them are not using it. They're using fish gelatin and other things.
So
by the way, in the USA, the law is, as far as I know, they can use cold milk if it's from cows, goats, I think sheep, and water buffalo. There was a proposal in Illinois a few years ago. The other Mark would know about it, I think, to expand the scope, but it was defeated. That would have had serious impact on Chalav Stam and on the price.
Okay, and one second. And buffalo are kosher, am I correct?
Yeah, water buffalo.
Water buffalo. Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
There are no real buffalo in America. They're bison.
Okay, Baruch Hashem. So Rav Meshach's Hetta remains strong. But you can't convince the Chassidim. See, the Chassidim, for them, it's not pure halacha. For them, it's... keeping your distance from the non-Jewish world. It's like a bekesha. Like
Rav Tzvi Pesach had it with powdered milk because it wasn't included in Takana and things like that.
No, powdered
and
milk.
I'm
well aware of that.
You're
quoting me. But with powdered milk, you still can't conceive the Hasidim because it's mental. It's a bridge. Anyway, I'll say in memory of... are there any more questions? I'll end off with a good
Rebbe?
Yeah.
You're talking about gelatin. The colatin, which was from Shchutim, that most people, I think, considered it power, or the oil considered it power, but Rav Aaron Soloveitchik considered it fleishik or treated it fleishik. I found something brand new. We know about fish gelatin. I saw something in the store, mini Pop-Tarts, not the regular Pop-Tarts. Regular Pop-Tarts, historically it had like a glazed type of icing, and there was some kind of gelatin in there. But I saw something new, which is a mini version, a little snack type of thing. I saw it had an OU, and so then I saw in the back, it just said gelatin. It didn't say fish gelatin. It just said gelatin. So I'm thinking it's probably fish gelatin. And so I called the OU, and they said it's from... kosher high gelatin, whatever terminology, but Shchutim, there's a company that has, I guess, enough of the Shchutim that they're not using the bones, they're using the hides, and there's enough of it that the OU made it available to the company that's making these national mini Pop-Tart things. I was pretty amazed at it.
Well, that was Colatin. The Colatin used Ides.
No, this is not Colatin.
I know that
when they had Colatin, Rav Shimon Ides used Ides also.
I know that the Baron Cutler was matir. They used from Shchutah gelatin. There was a special shchita. There is something going back to the 50s can be checked out. But today, I'll tell you, with fish gelatin, it's a Talmud of mine who has the patent, David Holzer, Talmud Chava, I should say, Rabbi David Holzer, and that changed the world. That's how we have marshmallows today in Israel, what I bought up and gave out to my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, I should say. It's all, when I was growing up, we used to look at these marshmallows and think it was Tam Gan Eden. And it is very good. And that's made with fish gelatin. If fish gelatin is much more healthy than regular gelatin, and the truth is the whole world should only use fish gelatin. But there's only one problem, HaKesev Yanet HaKol, it's too expensive. It's much more expensive than meat gelatin. So the fish gelatin still remains only for those who are anine tam that know the value of fish gelatin over meat gelatin, or for kosher. Manchester, there's a big kosher there that goes all over Europe, and a lot of the candy is fish gelatin, and that all comes from David Holzer's patent, which is really something. All right,
I called the OU about something similar. There was a brand of yogurt,
right,
that had gelatin in the ingredients that was under the OU, and it didn't say fish gelatin, which I think they're required to say, and there was no allergy warning for fish, and it didn't say agar.
So,
I think it was considered an Australian gelatin or something like that, made in the U.S., I called the OU. They told me at the time that they can't tell me what it is, but it's okay.
They can't tell me what. Okay.
However, then next time I looked at it, there was no more OU.
Uh-huh. All right.
Happens with the CRC once also when I told them about something, and they changed. I think it wasn't the problem, but the person in the office didn't know about it. I asked about, it said fish gelatin, it said fish oil in something, it wasn't gelatin.
Okay.
And I asked what the percentage was if there was a problem with basar.
Uh-huh.
And the guy in the office said, there's fish oil in there. And then I got a call a couple of days later, by next week there won't be any fish oil.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
I don't think it was a problem. It probably would have been bottled anyway, but okay. I was trying to reach the mashgiach for a while, and I couldn't reach him, and I finally got the office, and that's how I spoke to someone.
The OU has tremendous responsibility. It's tremendous. Let me end off with one story. You'll understand why this comes to mind. A dear friend of ours died, Joy Alpert, the widow of Rabbi Roy Alpert, and those of you who know our life story, we were very close to a number of rabbinic couples, and foremost among them were the Alperts. He was the photographer of the Rav, and he was photography editor of my work on the Rav, and Joy, she was a Silvermans, if you know that name, from Jewish music, from Agudat Yisrael. Terrific, terrific couple. They leave two daughters in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Aviva and Suri, and they should have Arichat Yomim and Oni Nachat. Roy was a tremendous raconteur. And over Shabbos, my wife and I, because we just got the news Thursday night, funeral, I believe, was a week ago. And over Shabbos, Malka and I recalled all the stories Joy could tell. But the greatest one ever was the car story. And I told it years ago, but let me repeat it in their memory and in honor of Pesach. Roy, at the end of his stay in Queens, his area where Stella was going. So he supplemented his living. He would officiate at funerals in Brooklyn. And on his way back from the funeral, the chapel would call him, the rabbi, I have a funeral for you, etc. On the way back, he would drop me in Borough Park, was the Pesach store he would patronize, and he comes into the store, and this lady is there, and, you know, a Satma lady, and she's telling him, Derechse, nishta know you. And finally, with the salt, she says, oh, Dutton, give me a know-you. And he found out, why did she want the OU? Because the salt without the OU was not clean. And it had black in it. But the salt with the OU was on an international standard. But Roy was burned up that nothing she would take with an OU. Rebbe Shashkocha. And he says, mein Teier, it's all in Yiddish, I'll try to say it in English. Mein Teier, my dear lady, ich seh, du bist sehr upkit. I see you're very careful about the Hashgacha. Tell me, how did you get your car ready for Pesach? So she says, oh, my car, my husband took it to the garage, and the black man, the Schwarzer, took a vacuum cleaner, Oishka cleaned the car out. And Roy says, lady, for a woman who's so careful, that's the way you clean your car? Come out and see my car. And Roy had just gotten a new car where he was crippled. He had to have a special device put in that he could use the brake without his foot by hand. It's a whole story. He had for many years he suffered from a certain debilitating illness. Lo aleinu. And Rabbi David Lifshitz cried when Roy told him, and Rabbi David cried, said, my Talmidim darf so sein nicht gesinnt, my students shouldn't be well. No, and he cried, the student suffering, that's Rabbi David Lifshitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So he takes the lady out to the car, and he shows the lady the stickers are still on the car. Mein Teier Frau, ich bin somach auf a schwarzer Goy, soll euch cleanen mein Car für Pesach? Das heißt nicht Jüdischkeit, that's not Judaism, a Goy. But jeder Pesach nehmach a neue Car, soll sein Kosher für Pesach. So, and the lady goes away, she's all fatumal. Next week, Roy has another funeral, and Joy needs some other product, and he comes back to the store, and the storekeeper says, Rabbi Albert, what you did to that lady, you should know she went home and beat up her husband. This is Yiddishkeit. That you go, a goy, a schwarzer should clean out the car. I saw a Martin, why you rabbi? Yedem Pesach, kefta anaya car. And she said, either you buy a new car or you vacuum it out yourself. And I'll add under my hashgacha. Here's a woman giving the hashgacha. And that was Roy, that was Pesach, that was hashgacha. Jack, very hard for me. The whole world I knew and loved disappearing before my eyes. But all right, I'm alive and kicking, and for that, I hope you enjoyed today's shiur. We'll pick up exactly where we left off right after Pesach. And tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, we're back in the world of Reb Meir Shapiro. I have a lot to say, a lot to show you, but let me go step by step. Until we meet again in health and happiness, das v'danya.